your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast with Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. This podcast, as always, brought to you by our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Level, what's going on? How are you?
Well, it's draft week. We are on the other side of spring football after a month. And it's just one more kind of starting to check some things off the list before you get into these dead summer months. But it just means that, you know, I guess the season and all those kinds of things are getting a little bit closer.
Yeah, not too far away from
4 months and like 10 days or something.
Yeah, from start of football season.
Yeah, I think from the opener.
In some ways, that still feels like a ways away, but it'll be in our lap before we know it. I mean, it always is. So, and one of those check marks that you mentioned is spring football concluding. Of course, no official spring game in front of people because the weather had something to say about that down in the Midland area. It poured all day there, poured in Lubbock as well, which moved some baseball games around. But you end up having a spring game indoors, Team Taj versus Team Barron. You know, the media got to watch this. You went and saw it. What were your takeaways from the spring game?
And, you know, before we get into what went on this past weekend, I do think it's fascinating because I think that in some ways – the way spring games are broadcasted, televised, structured, are going, you know, could be altered. I don't want to say permanently because things change so much.
Sure.
But as long as there's a portal window going on, you just get the sense that there's a lot of coaches that just don't want to put their you know, put their guys out there for everybody to be evaluated and, you know, whatever. Because what is fascinating is that, like, for Joey's team is you had a couple of more may have done it. I just noticed Landon Hullaby and Anquan Willis, they were participating in your spring game on their what is going to be former team, and they are in the portal. But you also, you know, I think have and will have portal visits coming in. And so it's just the whole dynamic is just wild in that you literally, theoretically, you could have a game where you've got a guy on your team in the portal that's not going to play for you in the fall. And you could have somebody from another program at said spring game that was on another team the day before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just the lines are so blurred. But anyway, so it's just as long as that portal window is at the time that, you know, a lot of these spring games are being played. And really, I just, you know, anyway, it's an interesting dynamic. I think people probably can grasp what we're discussing there. And it's like, if you're a coach, it's like, why do I want to put my depth out there? Or like, you know, I don't want, you know, somebody, you know, because I know it's not supposed to happen, but like the whole tampering thing and all that. Anyway, so Saturday, yes, very spirited game. I think it would have been a fun game for everybody to be able to see. There was a lot of big plays in it. I think you had the dynamic of the teams basically split down the middle to where Barron and Taj kind of had enough first, second team type guys. There were plenty of guys that did not participate too.
Right.
Like off the top of my head, obviously no Barron and Taj, but you know, no Jalen Conyers, no Micah Hudson. So there's some of your offensive skill, your main offensive skill that didn't participate. Like defensively, no Adetare, no Isaac Smith, no Chapman Lewis, no James Hansen, who transferred in from Nevada, that's supposed to help out that defensive line. You know, I didn't see Jacob Rodriguez and Ben Roberts do much, you know, at all. Don't need them to put them in harm's way. and all that. So keep in mind when we talk about this, there's a plenty that were held out or just didn't know. Mike Dingle, I think I didn't see him.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, and there was a lot of juice in there, and I don't know if that's because people were so excited about not being out in the cold, pouring rain.
Oh, man.
But thank goodness for the indoor, because there were some times when they were warming up and when that game got going that they had the little garage doors open, and it was just,
yeah,
I mean, pouring. So anyways, but it was fun to watch, man. I think a lot of reasons for optimism with some of the new playmakers on offense. I think you could clearly see the team speed on defense. And you know, we can get into specifics if you want, but I came away going, huh, you know, and I'll tell you, a sneaky event took place in that. I mean, do I want to sit here and say that Gino Garcia is just locked in as your kicker? I mean, I kind of want to, but I mean, Reese Burkhart makes a 52 yarder and a 43 yarder at the end that are about as pressure kicks as you're going to have at least in April, to send it to overtime and then to ultimately win it. And I thought that was impressive. So I didn't want to gloss over something like that, where I wouldn't have thought that you had any sort of kicking competition. But Joey even indicated after the deal, is like, man, I mean, maybe we'll see what shakes out in August. So you just never know.
Yeah, along those lines, and you may have already answered this from that standpoint, but Chance asks, who particularly stood out to you in the spring game level?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm excited about for this upcoming season, with all the questions with, like, say, a Barron and like your offensive line, just because you're not real sure who's going to do what yet. I think we all can feel pretty good about like how much you've upgraded your offensive skill, especially your pass catchers.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about him on this show for the last couple of weeks, but like John Carlos Miller, I think has got a chance to be a real weapon for you. And he's not a one and done guy, but I think he's got a chance to be, you know, a mismatch weapon for you. I think Caleb Douglas did his thing. I think you can start to see that Coy Aiken is just going to be one of these guys that's going to keep getting better. And he's just still brand new, but he has a big play. I see Josh Kelly making some things happen over the middle with guys making guys miss. And you just have missed this aspect. And I don't want to gloss over the guys throwing it to him, because Cam Brown and Will Hammond each had a couple of, you know, 20 plus, you know, yard touchdown passes. Some were longer than that, but I mean, they were from far out. And I think that was fun for me. And I just think the general speed on defense, Joey keeps kind of talking about like no name, you know, and all that. And I think part of that is because you don't have anybody that is clear cut established. But you are deep and fast and all that all over the place, and you just don't have like a draft pick or a first round or first all for preseason all conference type guy. And so I think that's been kind of fun. Now the corners got beat on some plays as we're sitting here talking about, but they also, there was a pick six, there was a would be dropped pick six. Jake Strong, I think, threw the Mohorn drop to what would have been a pick six. I think, you know, Will Hammond threw a pick six. And so your DBs were making plays too. That's always the tricky thing about these spring games, is that anytime something really good happens, you're like, well, something bad happened too. But that's football, right?
It's football. Yeah.
I mean, I could keep going on individual names and things like that. I mean, I saw Charles Esters had a sack. I think Joseph Plunk was a guy that made several plays on the back end of your secondary, just because of his smarts and all those kinds of things. But yeah, I mean, I think you got out healthy and you got some work done, because those are tricky and trying to get better in those scenarios. But I think they accomplished a lot.
Another question from the audience. This one is from Will. Kind of funny on the name there. Who will be the backup quarterback? And Coach McGuire may have answered this to the media afterwards as well.
He did, and I first of all, if you know, nobody should be concerned about Will Hammond. The guy is going to be fascinating to watch play here and watch his career blossom. He is very, you know, again, he made the mistake, as I talked about, but there were so many other things that he did and did well that he just is smooth. He's in command. And in these settings, it's hard to find, it's hard to really see the dynamic that the legs bring. And like Will Hammond, he's maybe the fastest of your quarterbacks, certainly in a straight line. But, and so I don't want to diminish, you know, Will Hammond or Jake Strong for that matter, because Jake Strong threw a short touchdown pass to Jason Llewellyn, another new guy who transferred from Oklahoma and had gone to high school in Aledo. But I think, yeah, Cam Brown's going to be your number two. And I think that is because he brings in such a different dynamic with his legs and ability to run and do some different things that I can even envision scenarios to where, you know, Barron is healthy and just fine, and Cam Brown is still playing some at different aspects, whether it's plays or packages or whatever, just because I think that he can do some of these things. He's an impressive kid, very mature. And I think he's, you know, he's got a different thing about him that you don't really have otherwise. It's kind of like the Donovan Smith component, with it, and he can throw it too. You know, I mean, he had one to Caleb Douglas, and I think he's the one that threw it to, maybe it was to Coy Aiken, it was Jordan Brown. That's who it was. It was Jordan Brown and John Carlos Miller were his two touchdown passes, but, and they were nice throws, you know, 25, 30 yards out, and dropped them in there. So anyway, but yeah, I think Cam Brown will be your number two QB, which makes sense. I think that that's probably, you know, makes you wonder what Jake Strong is thinking, since he was kind of the incumbent, if you will, and had been here. But Jake or Will really can't do some of the things that Cam can, I think, from a and part of it is just because the kid's 6'2", 230.
Yeah.
You know, he's a different look, and it's a different, I think, play call when he's in there.
Yeah. So that was obviously a hot topic of the spring, and kind of ramped up even more when Baron Morton went out for the spring. So now kind of shifting more personnel talk with this question. It asks, Level, how big of a loss are the two running backs to the portal for Tech?
Man, I think that while they could go be good players, I don't think that they were going to play at all here. I think you've got a situation where Taj Brooks, Cam Valdez, Cam Dickey, and then I think Jacoby Williams is coming in as a freshman, and he's going to be like more of a, because Dickey and Williams are going to be faster than what Valdez and Brooks are, and give you a different look. But I think you're fine there. And so it just was a bit of a logjam. And this is what happens, you know, when a guy like Cam Dickey comes in and passes guys up, I think guys have to go, because I think Joey's talked about this. Do you want to play football? Like, what is your preference? What do you care about? Do you just want to be here? Or do you actually want to play? If the answer is I want to play, man, I think that it may be best to try to find something else out there, because we can't provide you these opportunities based on our evaluations. And it's, but I think Joey does it right. He let Anquan Willis actually played in this game, and he did well. Landon Hullaby on the defensive side did the same. But yeah, I don't think it's any loss at all. Where you may feel that loss some is just special teams depth. You know, you may not be quite as experienced on special teams, and so you'll have to push some freshmen or some of the younger players up the, you know, because that's where running back depth usually fills in. Secondary depth, running back depth, wide receiver depth, that fills out a lot of your special team stuff.
Is it going to be, in your mind, an either or with Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams? One's going to redshirt and one's not this season, or how does that work?
I wouldn't actually rule. I mean, I don't think they'll do this, but I wouldn't just totally rule out them, you know, trying to redshirt Cam Dickey and just kind of seeing how it goes, you know, again, because you can get the four games in.
Right.
And if you get to that point, it's like I could see them using those two kids in eight games.
Yeah.
Okay. Four each, and like still preserving their years. I don't know if that's what we'll get, but maybe in a perfect scenario, maybe you're able to pull that off. But Kim, you know, and again, we'll see what August looks like and how injuries set up. Cause you know, sure. At some point you throw that plan out the window, but I think Cam will be ahead just because, and he's a different kind of back too. It's a bit of a different look. But he's ahead since he's been here all spring, and he's thick. He's got some speed to him. There's just nothing he doesn't do well. He can catch it. And ultimately what determines young kids playing time at that position is, can you pick up the blitz? If you can, absolutely. You'll play. If you can't, I don't care how fast you are or whatever else, we have a hard time putting you out there.
Yeah, we've seen that time and time again. If you can pass pro, then you'll get on the field. If not, then you won't. It's as simple as that in college football. One more personnel question from the football standpoint. Again, portal related, said Level, do you expect any more players to go into the portal, or is all that kind of done for football?
As you and I sit here and talk, there's about a week left of the window. I would expect more. Yeah. I don't know. You know, is that none? Is that four? Is that, you know, whatever? I don't know. I don't have anybody specific, but I would just be surprised based on past precedents that it's just now that spring is totally done. You know, there may be more conversations that take place, you know, with the staff and players and all those things, exit meetings or however you want to phrase that as you head into the summer, that you may say, hey, man, you know, if you want to play, that kind of stuff. So and you just hope you don't get a surprise like or please don't leave, you know,
that's
kind of
the
deal. You can get some of that, too. But I would guess that you're not totally done there.
So correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm missing anybody, but it's, I think, Tre'Darius Brown, Bryson Dunnell, Anquan Willis, and Landon Hullaby, the four that are in at the moment.
And Cam Watts.
And Cam Watts. I forgot. Thank you. So,
so you've got five that are all, they were all either young players or just kind of buried on the depth chart. And like a guy like Cam Watts, like I could envision you going to find the equivalent of somebody like him out there just as an insurance policy for you, because Cam could play most of the spots in the secondary. He certainly played some special teams for you. And he just provided you, you know, with some depth and experience across the board.
Yeah.
And so I could see them going to find a versatile DB that maybe has a year or two left to play, just to kind of, you know, have somebody else in the system. Because you're kind of relying on a lot of new guys, but like Donnell and Willis, Cam Watts kind of got passed up by a lot of the new guys. You know, Devin Cromwell already kind of moves ahead of him and just got here. And so this is what happens, you know, because I think Cromwell is just faster. He's, you know, very physical, and he's got some speed to him and all those things. But yeah, those are the five guys at this point right now, as you and I sit here and chat.
Yeah. And like you said, there's going to be more names, but you just hope it's not anybody that's a surprise. And I guess last on the portal, I assume you take those five scholarships and replace them trying to just go player or position for position, or is there something else that's a need that you'll attack more?
Well, you were kind of like, I think, okay, so this is where this is going to be tricky to explain. You have guys that have come in here, like, let me see if I get the name right. Like, remember the Wilcox kid that came in here?
From TCU?
Javion Wilcox. Okay, yeah. I'll just use him as an example. He comes in here on not a scholarship, and it's a walk-on opportunity. Is he good enough to be on scholarship? 1,000%. He was very highly recruited, and so you may not replace those scholarships with external candidates. They may be more internal candidates.
Fair. Yeah.
They're like Jason Llewellyn comes in as a walk-on. He was a highly recruited guy. Those guys that have done the right thing or whatever that are not technical in scholarship, they could be awarded with some of this as opposed to an external. But depending on how many other guys you lose, you could fill in some spots. I mean, I think that I would say, is it going to shock me if you add one of the following? an offensive lineman of some sort, a quarterback. And I only mentioned quarterback just because potential uncertainty with Barron. You know, I mean, if there was an experienced guy that had 1 or 2 years left that wasn't going to run any of your younger guys off or whatever, you know. So offensive line and quarterback, I think that would be it on offense. I think you're fine at running back. I think you're fine at receiver and tight end and all that, assuming everybody is back that you think will be back. Defensively, a versatile DB, or if there was an edge guy that you were like, ooh, we've got a relationship with him. I can't, you know, but yeah, short of that, I think that you're probably set. But any of those kind of spots, I could see, you know, where, you know, if the right fit was out there, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sticking with the portal, but shifting gears here, we've got a couple more questions before we wrap this one up, Level. Basketball, Texas Tech basketball, since you and I last talked, has signed a couple of different players. Kevin Overton, and have no idea if I'm saying it right, Federico from Pitt. You get Overton from Drake, which is a pretty nice piece with 3 years left of eligibility. He was a freshman that scored a little over 11 points a game. Federico, a defensive specialist from Pitt. So your thoughts on those two signees?
Well, you've added another big guard, and then you've added a potential starting center. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, and I say potential because I think you have to, you know, figure out what all that they add here before you start trying to figure out what, you know, because they still need a point guard, a starting point guard. They don't really have one. That's not what Overton is. You don't have one on the roster, and I could envision where you need more than one guard that can handle the ball, you know. I think Chance and Kerwin and Darion and Overton and all that, can they all bring the ball up? Sure, but none of those guys are point guards. They're more off the ball players in a primary role. But you did add some rim protection and Federico that I think is somebody that is very good defensively. I don't know enough about how Pitt utilized him on offense to where is he just kind of a garbage guy there where he's kind of just looking for lobs and, or did they ever throw it to him and let him go to work? I don't know, you know, but I think that defensively, you know, and like the thing about Overton, I think is fascinating that I think maybe enough people haven't talked about is he played about 30 minutes a game on a really good team. And again, it's a lesser league than what you're going to be in. Okay. But as a freshman, out of prep school, mind you, so he's a bit removed from high school, but as a freshman, he plays 30 minutes a game, and I think he had 18 turnovers total on the season, which is nuts.
That is nuts.
That is, speaking of efficient, that has to be something that when they really evaluated Kevin, that I'm sure they were like, oh, and like Kevin, he was coached by Luke Barnwell, I think, at Sunrise Christian, the prep school standpoint. I think that North Texas was one of the first staffs to offer him back in like 2021 as a high school prospect, you know, when his recruiting was getting going. So this is, they're all very familiar with him, and he should be very familiar with a lot of the staff here, and he's from Oklahoma City. And so it's just right up the road. And so he gets to be back closer to home, but yeah, fun addition there.
Yeah, no question. Good gets there. And one more question about basketball portal asks, are we in the running or do you think we will get the kid from Wyoming?
I don't think they're pursuing him hard right now. Okay. Would I rule anything out? No, but I think he's more of a rotational piece.
Okay.
I think you need a guard or two. And then I think, you know, you've got, what is it, like six spots left? I would envision you adding like four more pieces here that like are an immediate help, whether developmental or help right away, starter wise, whatever it is. And I would say guard / point guard primary focus. And then you need some more, you know, you've lost Warren, you've lost Robert Jennings, you've brought back EY, and then you've added Federico. Well, you still need like a third piece, you know, that can play some interior for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's somebody that is an upgrade over what you've added on paper, whether it's somebody that just fits in the mix, whatever. But I mean, the focus is you need a guard or two that can help you on both ends of the floor, but really facilitate.
Yeah. This one from Al says, I saw Jeremy Roach went to Baylor. Do we have the money to shell out at Texas Tech to get those kind of splash players?
I mean, I've seen rumors about, you know, and that's the thing is, I don't know how anybody like can prove this, but I think 1.2-ish is what original rumor. I've seen 1.5. I don't know if they're willing to go that route at Texas Tech and again, it may be different. Like Baylor may be pooling their money and going, we're going to go high end and use all of our money for like one or two guys.
Right.
And then fill out the rest. Whereas Texas Tech may be saying, let's divvy it up and try to get deeper and all those things. I have no idea. I really don't, but those are big ticket items.
Yeah. That's a huge piece. No question about it for Baylor, but you say you don't know if Tech's willing to do that. Is that, don't know if donors are willing to do that or if McCaslin wants the program run that way.
Great question. Yeah. I mean, great question. I don't know what your, available monies are. I don't know if that's a chemistry grant. Good question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think though there's just different ways to go about this stuff. And I think everybody kind of has a different take on it. You know, because like they had a couple of one and dones last year in Jacoby Walter and Yev Misi. And I think a lot of coaches aren't necessarily wanting to go that route either. Did Baylor do better than you this year? Yeah, by a little bit. You split with them. They won maybe one or two more games in the tournament, I think, than you did, and finished one spot higher in the conference standings. But it wasn't like a drastic, you know. But those two kids that they lost, they're going to be first round draft picks.
Technically, had the same. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, same conference record.
Yeah, same conference record.
Yeah. I mean. And that, though, that is what I think Scott Drew, that is what they recruit to. That's kind of their identity, is like churning guys out in the NBA. You know, that's their identity. Whereas I think Grant may want more blue collar depth, defense, like hard nosed, you know, like not about one guy or two, not the flashy. I don't know. Sure. But based on, you know, that's kind of.
Yeah, we have one more question from Carlos. This switches over to baseball. Red Raiders won three in a row against West Virginia. It says, after the sweep with West Virginia, is there a path where Tech baseball could get back into hosting territory?
You got a ways to go there, Woodman. Your RPI is at what, like 28?
28. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a ways to go. I think that's going to be really difficult to get done. I mean, I would even say, if you just went out, like won every game from here on out, the conference schedule, go win the Big 12 tournament, I would say even at that point, it's still a bit of a question.
Well, you get just, top 16 teams host. You need to get into really top 20, 22 to be in the conversation. You're sitting at 28. You've got the Big 12 leader and OU left at home.
And that's not all that it factors in. It's a primary deal, you know, but and plus some of this is just out of your control. Some of this is like, okay, what else is out there? Cause there's some no brainers that are going to host. But I mean, you're going to have to finish out really, really strong, to be in that conversation.
I think the Big 12 is going to get one host site. I think just kind of by default, you're going to see them give the Big 12 one host site, so it's a matter of who it is. And right now you'll see OSU or OU in that conversation, and you got both of those teams left on your schedule. So I mean, Tim Tadlock would just tell you to be where your feet are and play the games in front of you and see what happens. But you're right, there's a lot that would still have to follow your direction, because RPI. I am curious, you know, just from, when do we get a net system in other sports? You get the net rankings in basketball for a few years now, which is a little bit better of a system than the RPI. So I'm curious why other sports haven't gone to that yet.
Yeah, you know, I think that, oh, who was it? It was Kansas State's coach last year, baseball coach, because they got left out.
Yep.
He had a lot of criteria and data. It was like, well, this is what we did. This is what kind of you told us you wanted, but then you kind of changed it, and we're left out. Like, our season's over. There is no NIT for college baseball teams. And I think that it almost needs more controversy or more. I just don't know if there's enough baseball teams that belong in the NCAA tournament compared to basketball.
Yeah.
To where you're not including the best of, and now maybe we're going to have different arguments to how they should be seated, who gets to host. Baseball's postseason is just so much different than everybody else's. Well, they're all very different in their own ways, but like, baseball is the only sport where you could literally play a home game all the way to like the big deal, you know, and that pretty, you know, if you're one of those top eight seeds and
matters,
hold serve. Yeah. You can, you win, what would that be? Five ish games, I guess, technically five or six games at home.
Five would be it. Yeah. I guess it could be six. Yeah. So, just to wrap the thought on baseball, Big 12's what Tech has working against them. The league is just not a very good league this year.
And that's also part of your problem.
It's very average. When Texas goes and loses in a midweek to UT Rio Grande Valley, and TCU goes and loses to Abilene Christian, then that just kills your whole league RPI. And that both of those things happened last week. And so that hurts the league as a whole. And you're kind of fighting that uphill battle, but just win the games in front of you is what Coach Tadlock would say. So I think that's all we got, Level.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I guess draft this week.
That's
right. And then we head into some summer months and all those kinds of things. So, we'll keep this going for, I don't know, a bit longer until things really screech to a halt. Maybe next week we can talk about some of the rules changes in helmet communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two-minute warning. Tablets being used on the sidelines, all that kind of stuff. We can spend some time on that next week because Joey was certainly outspoken about such things. And I guess we'll thank you to Cantex Roofing for being a part of this show, man. They are very nice to be a part of this. Woodman, I appreciate you taking care of me as always, and talk to you next time.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Level.
Yeah. There you go. Appreciate you.
That's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the Ask Level podcast brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Level podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.